tomorrow morning I could, if not tonight. I don't know what time you'll come back, but tomorrow morning I could try to reach him and try to coordinate the three of us together.
All right, then you can give me a call and let me know when you're ready, and then we'll just connect on the internet.
Okay. Sure.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Do you know Krishna Mohini?
No, Maharaj. I don't know her. I think I've met her.
She sent a message to me on day for class. I'll be thinking of our old schedule Tuesday, I guess. I just tried to contact her student and didn't reply. No, she's actually not there.
I don't have her on my friends list either, contact list.
Maharaj, Haridas Prabhu also wanted to join. But he's not on. I'm seeing here. Yesterday he sent a message to us when in the class. Shyamasundar Prabhu not sent Maharaj any message. I sent him about harmonizing.
Okay. He may be busy. He's quite. I told he was quite. He has a job and a family.
Yes,
ma'am. He may not have time. I haven't had a chance to look at that harmonized.
No problem, Maharaj. No problem. Just you know. I got some Maharaj in this, you know, what you can say, vitamin medicines, Maharaj, as you told. And this is homeopathy, and he was he told that because of lack of, you know, good sleep, sound sleep, Maharaj, you know, he said that, you know, this trouble happened, is all this, you know, gas and, you know, stomach, everything. So he told that, you know, this medicine will help, and actually it is a lot of help for last 3-4 days, Maharaj. I'm getting
some sleep from it.
Sound sleep, Maharaj, you know. Sound sleep, and it helped very much actually. Braja Gopal also faced the same problem, Maharaj. There, he is also
sleeping?
No, not sleep. That means this gas and, you know, everything, like this stomach problem. Something is happening in South India, Maharaj. I don't know what is the problem. What is the problem? Some disease or something. Acharya Maharaj also faced same trouble in not getting sleep and coming back from there. Same thing happening, everything. Something is there in Bhairava. I don't know what. Some problem was there.
Purushottam wasn't affected.
He was not so much affected. I never experienced like this, Maharaj. First time I experienced like this trouble.
Maharaj?
Yes?
No. On Sunday, my sister was acting funny. She was behaving funny with her speech and the way she was walking and moving around in the house.
Yes.
So I took her to the emergency and they told me she suffered from a slight stroke.
Really? How old is she?
She will be 60 in August.
Oh, I see.
Now she's not able to swallow. I came up from the hospital today, so they took her in to do a quick surgery and her to put a feeding tube through her stomach, her abdomen.
Oh, so serious.
They said I didn't take it in on time. If I had brought her there on Sunday, Saturday night actually, when it happened. But I didn't recognize it after Sangha. We were talking and laughing and we went to bed. I didn't notice it until like late Sunday afternoon. So I said, okay, Monday morning, I rushed with her. I said, you know what, come, let me take you to the emergency. And they said, had I not waited, they would have been able to do something. But now it's gotten worse.
Oh.
One trouble after another.
I got a lot of troubles in the back also, Maharaj, because of this gas, Maharaj. You know, now
yes.
I overcome all these things by some exercise and like that, Maharaj. Lot of, you know, cure. So much simultaneously happened everything, Maharaj. Like this cough and the back problem, stomach problem, sleep, everything together. Or again, just a fever happened and it will go, like this happened. And all of a sudden, you know, all these things happened. And
you have to make sure you get enough, you know, rest is very important, no doubt, and also some vitamins. I am taking so many things every day. Well, not now, actually the past week I've also been having a problem with a stomach ulcer. The doctor said it must be ulcer. Do you know ulcer?
Yes, yes, Maharaj. Gas problem, later stage become ulcer.
Well, a pain, mostly a pain.
Yes, Maharaj.
First time I got that also. Dear Shamsundar Krishnamohini doesn't answer. Okay.
They said it's the Upanishad.
Yes.
Ishavasya Upanishad.
Ishavanishad. Yes.
Yes, but they call it another name.
Sri Ishavanishad.
They have it listed in parentheses as Sri Isha Upanishad,
yes.
But they're calling it another name. Isha, I-S-H-A, V-A-S-Y-A.
Vasya.
Isha Vasya, yeah, Upanishad.
Isha Vasya Upanishad.
Yeah, that's the, they said that
that's
is...
That's the first verse. Well, Isha Vasya Midam Sarvam, Yad Kinshav. And yeah, something like that. Ishavasumidam sarvam. That means I am the controller of everything. Ishavasya. What's that?
No, I was going to say, they're starting a class on April 12th here in Queens to discuss this Upanishad. They wanted to discuss it. They want to give... every Friday from 7 to 8:30 p.m. But they're charging.
Very bad.
They're charging a fee to attend the it's a 10-week study, they call it. An informal 10-week study. I am thinking of going because I read the small little book that Prabhupada wrote on the Upanishad. Not the Isha Upanishad. I think it's called Upanishad.
No, Prabhupada wrote the Isha Upanishad. Sri Isha Upanishad.
Okay, that's the one I have. And I'm just curious to see the direction or just...
Who's giving this class?
Someone named Pandit Anand Sriram.
No, don't go.
Don't even bother. Okay.
Sounds bogus to me.
Well, the fact that money is involved, I think...
I know that also.
But they call it...
And they're calling it a different name, Ishavasya, just to attract attention or something new.
And he's
not in this kind of manner.
No, I don't think so. He wouldn't have name Pandit next to him.
Yes, I wouldn't go to that.
Maharaj? Maharaj?
Sounds like some Karmakanda.
What's
that, Maharaj?
Maharaj, actually, in Siliguri, Maharaj, there are so many sahajiyas, and actually they have some, you know, like this singing, you know, different tunes of this, like Aul Baul, that, you know, Prabhupada Sarsal
Thakur
identified, and also like different, you know, like Kul Guru and other things. So I want from you that, Maharaj, how you would like to, you know, like, you know, preach to them, these people.
Difficult. They take everything you say in a different way.
So it's somewhat becoming a religious politics, in other words. You know, one side debating that they're correct, while the other side say they're absolutely correct. It's something of...
You know, the main thing when we want to learn about spiritual life is the parampara, guru parampara. Where are they coming from? you have to inquire, what is the origin of their teaching and their conception? And so, we are following in the line of Rupa Goswami, that's our position. Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, if they say they are following that line also, but then somewhere in that line from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they may put in some, you know, other person. Just like we follow from Mahaprabhu, we're following from Rupa Goswami, then Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, all this line, right? So we have to see what is their lineage. And if they're putting some sahaja in the middle there, then we know that what their where their conception is coming from. And, you know, I think what we have to do is just point out what their conception is and what our conception is and how they may be diverting from that, deviating from that conception. For instance, some will worship, you know, Gauranitai as Radha and Krishna. We'll say Gaura and Nithananda, they are Radha and Krishna in male form, something like that. A completely bogus idea. We don't worship Mahaprabhu and Nithananda Prabhu as Radha and Krishna. They are Krishna and Balaram. Right?
Yes, Mother, yes.
Oh, well, you know how they can be worshipping Radha and Krishna, where they get that from, I don't know, but they have some lineage where we can see where they have deviated. And according to, you know, your ability to point out their deviation, you may be able to convince them, but I don't know.
Sometimes they come to our temple.
And they also have some feeling associated with that. And they have developed some loyalty and some, you know, devotion to that kind of misconception. So on that platform, you can't even reason with them.
But some of them come to our temple and, you know, like few of them, all little bit changed, you know, few of them, you know, taken shelter of Acharya Maharaj again. But I see,
yes,
you know, this whole Siliguri is full of these things. They, you know, regularly take,
yes,
money.
That's also possible in that way, that who has their tradition, you know, from their tradition, their family tradition, have been following the Sahaja line. They may not have so much attachment to it, because it's just what they picked up as children. In that case, you can preach to them quite easily, because they're not committed so deeply. Then you may be able to preach to them. And you have to show them by nice behavior and nice prasad and clear understanding of the philosophy. You might be able to convince them. I would think like that if they've just grown up in their family with that conception or misconception, you might be able to catch them and direct them to the proper thing.
Yes, Maharaj. But those who are innocents, Maharaj, generally I see, who are becoming sahaja, not knowing much, they are, you know, a little bit changing. But means those who are like professionals, it is like, you know, they're like hardcore actually. They can,
yes, be. You know, even Govinda Maharaj, when he came to Guru Maharaj, he used to know so many songs, Bengali songs, Vaishnava songs, and one day Guru Maharaj told him, don't sing those songs anymore, only to sing the songs I give you. Those other songs are sahaja's songs. So in India it's like that. They pick up things here and there, and whether it's coming in the direct line of Guru Parampara or not, they have no idea. They don't, simply don't know. And they, whole life, from childhood, they learn how to sing those songs, and they think, oh, I am very devoted, I have all these, know all these Vaishnava songs. And they go like that, singing. But when coming in contact with the Vaishnav Guru, pure Vaishnav Guru, then we learn that those songs, they learn that those songs are not according to the proper line of descent. So we have to recognize that when we take up discipline of spiritual life, spiritual life is a discipline. Sadhana means a discipline. That we're going to have to remove certain misconceptions we may have. That's the difficult part. But that is the part, that is the essential part actually of spiritual instruction. Well, certainly we all have so many different ideas when we're coming, first coming. And Guru's business is to cut that misconception and try to present the real, the true conception. So who is sincere, they will be able to do that. They will be able to follow the instructions of Guru and give up whatever is not correct, no matter how much they have been sentimentally attached to those things from their past life. That is part of the diksha process. Diksha means giving transcendental knowledge and also removing ignorance. Both things are there. You can't get transcendental knowledge and have ignorance at the same time. You have to remove the ignorance and get the transcendental knowledge simultaneously. Otherwise, you know, it will be kitchery. So the real initiation means you have to go through that process, giving up what is wrong, incorrect or misconceived, and trying to understand the right, the proper conception. So Govinda Maharaj was very innocent when he came to Guru Maharaj, and whatever Guru Maharaj told him, he did that. And he would not do anything, even though he felt he wanted to go to some holy place or some temple or something like that. He would not do it until he got permission from Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj was very pleased with that attitude, simple attitude. Like a child, what did I do to him? To his father? He's asking, what should I do? Should I go here? Should I go there? And he was obedient to his father, like a small child. And in that way he got the grace of Srila Siddhar Maharaj for being so honest and so simple-hearted. And that way Maharaj was able to cultivate him. And that quality Guru Maharaj could see in him. And after just a short time, 1 week or so, he understood, here is this person. He can be acharya. He can be trained to receive the proper message and deliver that to others. So you have to explain that to them also. Diksha means proper conception and a removal of the misconception. What we have picked up from the environment, from others, from here and there, from different persons, that is not pure knowledge. And our process is to approach Guru Parampara, Evam Parampara Praptir, Imam Vajarshayo Vidu. Go to that line, go to that lineage of teachers are coming from Krishna now, or you explain the Guru Parampara, who they are, and we try to catch the conception from them, and also to give up our old deviating points of view.
Maharaj, by your blessings, we shall try, because they are coming here to the temple. Few of them, they're listening and, you know, trying to change. So I'm thinking that, you know, like here I'm not so many all time, so I'm helping also Tilak Prabhu to preach also to them, because he's also in my absence, you know, helping and doing the class. So I wanted to also give him some, you know, what he can help in this. So whatever you said, I try to, you know, also convey him, so he can preach here. So really good, they will, you know, get some lessons. Basically, Maharaj, they don't follow any discipline, as you told. The sahajiyas means, you know, no discipline at all in their life. So that is
sahajiyas means easy. They take the easy way. Whatever they feel, they do. And they think that is spiritual.
Maharaj?
Yes?
I got an invitation for, they want to form a new Hindu school here in Queens also.
I see.
And I got an invitation to participate and be part of it, of opening that Hindu school. But for me, it's so sahajas in the approach of it. So I just wrote them back a simple question. What is the parampara? What is the guru parampara for the school? I doubt I'll get a response, if not a curse out. So I got the email today, and I before Sangha, I sent them an email asking them what is the, in which philosophy are we following, or should we follow the thought? Because every state in India, on every little city or every little village, have their own little thing going on. So who do we follow? Where do we follow? Do we follow the Guyanese tradition, the Trinidadian tradition, the Indian tradition? And if we follow the Indian tradition, which state are we following? Or which guru? Or which philosophy are we following? You know, that's basically what I asked them. I said, when you can answer me that question, please let me know. I'll let you know if I'll be part of it. They try to get me so involved in everything, to a point that they're telling me, oh, the children school coming out of high school and they're graduating out of high school, we want you to come and talk to them. I'm like, talk to them about what? Their parents are so materially attached. They are becoming even worse than their parents. What is my little bit of Krishna knowledge going to do for them? Because they're not ready to listen to them. They're going to the mandir in jeans and tights, female. That is so disrespectful. And I don't have that kind of ability to go and, you know, tell them off, which I would like to. And I'm learning how to be a little bit more humble.
That's in Hinduism. Hinduism is a mixed bag of so many different ideas.
Yes.
Difficult. You have to tell them I'm not Hindu. I'm Vaishnav. I don't follow Hinduism. I'm Vaishnavism. I'm following that.
When my mom passed away, one of the pundits that came to give a little talk at the funeral home, funeral parlor. And he started talking, and at the end of the conversation, I looked at him and I said, why are you so obsessed with Lord Shiva? He's only a servant of Krishna. Understand that. And he said, he turned around and he says to me, well, when you see God, you let me know. But I said, I already saw God. Look at the way you're breathing, where you get that breath from. Look at the way you're speaking, where you get that knowledge from. Doesn't that tell you there's God within yourself? You got to recognize that first. Then you will see the outside, if there's God outside. Recognize the one in you first. So him and I had it out, and my other brother, he says to me, oh Lord, here she goes again. Give up. I'm like, no, I'm not going to give up.
No, you give up.
Yeah, you're not going to come here and insult my Krishna, and then I'm going to stay quiet and watch you trample over his name. No way.
Very nice.
They always call me a bully when it comes to Krishna. I don't know what that means, but, you know, I'm not going to give them the opportunity to do that. Every time they call, they tell me, don't say Hare Krishna on the phone. Say hello. I'm like, it's my phone. I can answer how I want.
Hare Krishna.
Like, excuse me? I'm 45 years old. You don't tell me, you know, nonsense like that. It's, I answer it how I want to. And what better way can you answer your phone by saying Hare Krishna to someone, whether you know the person or not?
Well, you know, in India, there are so many acharyas. Everybody should know. Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, right? And Acharya was also a very strong preacher. Whoever come, he would, you know, very strongly, like you're doing, he would tell them, what are you telling me? I am telling you. This is what I understand. So, we are coming in the line of Madhvacharya. We're the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma Madhva Gaudiya. Gaudiya means that we are following from the line of Mahaprabhu. So, Brahma, and Brahma is first in our line of Acharyas, and then comes Madhva, and then Mahaprabhu. And that line we're following, Vaishnavism. And there is also Ramanuja. Now he's coming from Sri Lakshmi. That's also bona fide because it's coming from Lakshmi. But it's slightly different from Madhvacharya's teachings because Ramanuja was teaching Vashishtadvait. Vashishtadvait means some qualified monism. Advait means monism, and Vashishtadvait means qualified. It's not Mayavad Advait. Something where the qualities of the Lord are there in the Advaita. In the Brahman, there is also qualities. Krishna or Brahman, the Absolute Truth, also has qualities. So there is distinction and unity, both. And according to Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya was teaching difference between Krishna and the living entity. And he always held up two fingers. But there's also unity, because the two fingers, they are only two aspects of the hand. People see the two fingers, but they don't see the hand. Two means there's also the hand. And the hand means it includes the fingers, but it's also different from the fingers. You can't say the fingers are the hand. And yet the hand includes the fingers. They're just some limbs of the hand. And when they speak of you, they don't only mean your torso, they mean also your legs, your hand, your head, arms, everything. Isn't it? So that when we speak of Krishna, we mean everything. Not just Krishna. He also has his limbs or his angas, his parts. Not like that. And we are following that teaching of Madhvacharya. A little bit more distinct than just qualities. Krishna also has his qualities and he also has his angas. So this is Madhvacharya's teachings. And we're going according to that. But we also respect Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya. However, we understand from the Bhagavatam that he came with a particular purpose to delude. He came with a specific purpose to delude others by teaching Advaita. And we know the history, why he appeared. During that time when he was coming, Buddhism was very prominent. And Buddha was teaching there is no God, teaching atheism, only to get them to stop misusing the Vedas for so many sinful ways, actually, animal slaughter and whatnot. So Shankaracharya had to come and teach that type of people to attract them back to the Vedas. And he did that by telling them that you are God. You are God. Why you are neglecting God? You are God. Something like that. He was trying to bring them back, giving them something that they could feel attracted to. They are so much interested in themselves. Okay, be interested in yourself, but know that you are God. No difference. God is everywhere, so you must be God also. He was teaching like that, just to bring them back from their non-Vedic life. Buddha had to teach them, don't follow the Vedas, because they were misusing the Vedas, misusing the Vedic knowledge toward their own purposes. He had to get them away from the Vedas. Try to learn proper behavior, proper thinking in your life. Don't be mean. Don't be cruel. Don't kill. And then Shankara had to reestablish the Vedas. Oh, these Vedas, they are about you. You are God. So according to the time and circumstances, the Acharyas come. And Shankara had that purpose, to bring them back. But then Madhvacharya came and said, no, you are not God, you are a servant of God. And Ramanuja also. And other Acharyas, Vaishnava Acharyas. We accept four lines of Vaishnava Acharyas. Madhva, Ramanuja, Nimbarka, and Vishnu Swami. I remember we had discussed these things. In one class we gave the different sampradayas. Maybe in a couple of classes some time ago. Do you remember that? We discussed these when we discussed this.
Yes, Maharaj.
I was not there, Maharaj.
You were not there.
Which? How many days back, Maharaj? Was how many sanghas back? From 2007, Maharaj.
Oh, yes?
I came on in 2009, but then my mom passed away at the end of 2009. So 2010, I came on fully.
I see. So I must have been around that time, 2010, between 2010 and now.
Did Krishna Prabhu, he used to record also? Or just out of Krishna Prabhu?
Krishna Prabhu, I don't remember.
But some classes not being recorded because, you know, the...
I think maybe not, maybe not. Maybe not. I'm always thinking of him.
Dropped out of
the picture.
I don't hear from him anymore, I don't know.
Very sad. Whatever conception you have. That makes you want to be Gunda. I don't have that mood to be that. So at all levels, one may be very, you know, intense in their life, following very intensely what they are doing. But we have to be careful to select. Is that what I want? Is that the ideal that I have? We have to look at their conception. What conception are they representing? And if we are sincere, then we can discern that and not be misled from our own path. devotee, the Vaishnava, actually, the Vaishnava devotee is a very special person who has that conception, that particular conception of spiritual life within himself or herself, that attracts them. When they see that conception, they feel attracted and they want to cultivate it more and more. And they're not attracted to other conceptions.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Maharaj, when this time, Gaur Purnima time, Sripad Goswami Maharaj was telling about you that, when Srila Sridhar Maharaj given you sannyas, he told about Madhavendra Puripad, because your name is Madhavpuri. On the day of Madhavpuri, Goswami's disappearance, I think that day it was.
Yes.
So he was speaking about that, and he told, that about you, Maharaj. That when he, Guru Maharaj, given, he was given your name on the remembrance of Madhavpuri. So Maharaj, I think some of the, that qualities of Madhavpuri was there with you, Maharaj. Like you are, I can sense like that sometimes, Maharaj, because you are so much.
If he saw me that way, then he gave me that quality. Otherwise, not possible to have by my own. If he saw like that, then I got them. Madhavendra Puri, yes, he was very shy about coming in public. A very non-public person. I also have that quality. Somehow you came, and then I became a little bit more public because of your strong support.
No, Maharaj, you are pushing me, so I'm moving. Otherwise, not Maharaj.
I don't know. I was just preaching, and then you wanted to preach about me, push me in the front. Anyhow. Siddhanta Saraswati was also like that. He was not pushing himself, but Tirtha Maharaji came and he wanted to push him forward. And also Govinda Maharaj and Srila Maharaj had a similar relation. Govinda Maharaj came to push Guru Maharaj more and more to the forward front, especially in the ISKCON relationship. Guru Maharaj was not so interested in preaching to so many Westerners because he was too old and not very well. And Govinda Maharaj said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of everything. You just preach and I will take care of them. I'll make sure they are following nicely and proper facility." And so like that, Govinda Maharaj began preaching to the Westerners. And the mud became very extensive by that partition from the West, Western devotees. So these things happen in that way.
Maharaj, why Madhavendra Puripad?
Also in a similar relationship. Nityananda used to go out and preach more about Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu would go. Of course, Mahaprabhu would preach. He also had his own preaching strategy. But Nityananda was spreading that more by his mercy. Was that Maharaj?
Maharaj, I was asking that why Madhavendra Puripad is known as the root of this Krishna, Radha Prem.
Madhavendra Puri was the first to conceive the conception, it came in him, of Krishna in the youthful form. His love for Radharani in a youthful form. He was the first to establish that. He was the first to experience that in his separation from Krishna also. One verse he made at his departure time. Aitina Dayadra Nathahe. In there he expressed union and separation. But not that had been described before by others before him, Jayadeva and so forth. They had all expressed love for Krishna before, but it was the first time that it came in the Madhavendra Puri. It was known to worship Gopal, Gopal deity, which is the Krishna in his small form, his youthful form. But still, he had that feeling of Krishna in the youthful form as expressing this mood of love and separation, intense love and separation from Krishna, and very humble. He had all the qualities that Mahaprabhu would ultimately teach himself by his own appearance. He assumed intense humility. And from that mood of humility, a feeling surrender to depending upon Krishna, and yet expressing the love and separation of Krishna as a youth. What a beautiful conception. And Mahaprabhu told only he and Radharani Madhavendra Puri had a similar conception. But they had, Madhavendra Puri had, Radhan Krishna had, Madhavendra Puri was the only one who had the same conception, similar conception. So like that, Guru Maharaj gave him a position in the Guru Parampara, a very high position. He wrote one paper, Pontifical Position of Madhavendra Puri. Pontifical means like the Pope. In the Catholic Church, the Pope has a high position of the Guru Parampara. And Madhavendra Puri, he told, had that position in our Sampradaya also. He's the Pope of our tradition, from where we are getting our lineage established through his conception. And it is told that that conception, that feeling of love, was the bijam, the seed, from which the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya sprang. He planted the seed. And Advaita Acharya he established the seed. He was the seed. And Advaita Acharya planted the seed by calling upon the Lord to come and descend. And Mahaprabhu was the tree that grew from that seed.
Mahaprabhu Maharaj, actually, he also celebrated Madhavendra Puripath's this Vyas Puja very grandly, and he told that even if somebody takes Mahaprasad on that day, that in that festival, he will get soon Krishna Prem. Only Mahaprasad, he said.
So what did Goswami, do you remember what he said about Madhavendra Puri that day?
Maharaj, actually, you know, the Acharya Maharaj went to, you know, discuss with Russian devotees. So he was ending his talk, actually, when we went there, reached, actually. It was in Russia, all of them were translating. So when we reached, actually, he told me specifically, you know, Guru Maharaj given the name, you know, Madhav Puri to Puri Maharaj, from that, you know, Madhavendra Puripat's, you know, name, he told.
Yes. Yes, one time, because I remember Guru Maharaj called me Madhava Puri, Madhavendra Puri. Never, usually he didn't call me Madhavendra Puri. One time I remember he did. Madhavendra is a poetic way of saying Madhava. Madhava Puri. And sometimes they say Madhavendra to make a poetic sound.
Yes, Goswami was saying that is the actual name he was saying. Madhav Puri was his actual name he was saying.
Yes, yes. The name Madhava, Madhavendra means Madhava, but with a special ending to make it sound more sweet. Madhavendra. So, I guess we didn't have any Bhagavatam reading today. Alright. Then next time, when Jada Krishna was here, and Shamsundra also, we can, we'll have Chaitanya Charitam, and then the next week after that, we'll have Bhagavatam.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Did you contact?
Purushottam Prabhu, I called Maharaj.
Yes.
His mobile ringing, but he not answered.
I see.
So maybe he kept his mobile inside room and went somewhere.
So, Kusham Devi, you can contact Jada Krishna and let me know when we can speak. And then we can discuss what... I was thinking the first project you might do with him together.
Okay.
This way, he has some scientific experience.
And I have none.
And you have not so much familiarity, so he might be able to help get your feet wet.
Yeah.
Your lotus feet, and then he can. Then I may get the idea, and we'll see. We'll see what you can do, how much you can do. We'll determine, and somehow or other, try to utilize your good qualities in the service of Mahaprabhu.
I'll do my best,
Maharaj. Yes, I know. You're always very sincere. Appreciate it very much. Did you put those corrections that Kusham Devi said?
Maharaj, you know, I could not, sense which is, you know, right, you know, in that way, because so many corrections he sent, and you also not commented much on that, Maharaj, because some of the sentence of Guru Maharaj were there in that. So,
you ask, what is the meaning?
Yes.
What if you don't understand something? You ask her, you have a consultation with her?
Okay.
Well, that is what I was asking, Shanta Maharaj, like I saw Guru Maharaj have. Does he have reason for an example? Does he have reason? But I know normally we would ask the question: does he have a reason? But I guess since Guru Maharaj have it like that, does he have a reason? Then I guess we would not touch it. This is of each one. Second paragraph in the middle.
Mm-hmm. I think after maybe we can have in the evening sometime. This would be good. Mm-hmm. That corrections we can discuss. I think.
I'm trying to find out where I put that her corrections.
Oh. It is on which date?
On the 25th.
25th. Oh,
yes. On page 1 he says, does he have reason? And said, does he have a reason? Usually it's does he have a reason? Or does he have reason means, does he have reasonable, does he have reasoning power? Then you could say, I'm not sure what the context was. Have access to this rational capacity. Does he have patience? Means something else. Means, does he have a reason for doing what he's doing?